Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us, Father. Help us to live that holy and righteous life, Lord, that you desire of each and every one of us. Lord, for we know you're not asking us to do anything that you haven't equipped us to do, Lord. So give us that will, Father, that want to please you, Lord. Do the things that we know to be right in your sight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord. We could not get along in this world without your word, Father. Now, help us to believe, Lord. We have faith, Lord, but help our unbelief. Lord, bless the ones who are on the way. Grant them safe passage, Father. Bring them here with that mind and that heart to worship and serve you, Lord. First and foremost, to hear a word from you, Lord. A life-giving word, huh? Help us apply it, Lord, to our very lives. We'll be so mindful, Lord, to give you all the praise and all the glory. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Page 105. We just started at the top right there, y'all. It said Jesus personified the gift of giving in ultimate perfection. God's love expresses both the reason and the source of the giving. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal, which is everlasting, life. How many of y'all realize that life has already started for us now? For the believer, you're already living your eternal life right now. Right? Well, why don't we live like it? You think we're going to take this mess into the presence of God? Well, why can't we shake it now? We ought to let it go now. It won't be such a shock when you get there and find out you can't bring your mess in. You just read the book, y'all. He ain't trying to trick us. He ain't hoodwinking us at all. He's letting you know what he's going to sell. Jesus came as the result and effect of God's unconditional love.
That's right.
Jesus is the ultimate gift of God and of himself as well. God gave and he gave, y'all.
That's
hard for a lot of people to believe because it don't make sense to the human mind, to the finite mind.
No, cannot make sense.
Some of this stuff you just ain't going to comprehend, y'all. You're not going to get it. You're not supposed to. The secret thing belong to who? Okay. So let that be all right with us, y'all. The fact is vividly expressed by Paul in Philippians 2:6-9. Said, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Well, why I got to be Mr. Big Shot then? Made himself of no reputation, but I got to be big. DDMBBB QRST. Taking the form of a bondservant, y'all, and coming in the likeness of men. So don't take that and make it mean Christ was just the man, y'all. Don't do that. A lot of people screwing, taking this scripture out of context and trying to bring Christ down to our level. Bad mistake, y'all. And Asa, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And we don't even want to be flagged on Facebook. We don't want to lose our friend on Facebook. That friend, granted, we ain't never met them. We don't know who they are, where they from, but that's our friend. And we'll hold our words. We'll choke ourselves to keep from saying anything to lose that friend. But the Bible tells us Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. All right, 9 said, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That every name thing it trips some people up too.
That's right.
Because they think it's some names bigger than Christ. Maybe like COVID.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason they think COVID is bigger than Christ. Why? Why would you think that, bro? Why would you even think that? Why would you even? It's simply because you don't believe what you say you believe. And that's something each one of us should question. The Bible, Paul said, examine ourselves. Tell us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. We doing all this good talking and preaching and all that. And Paul said, it'd be a shame if I do all this and yet I'm a castaway. Yet I'm a castaway. It's going to be so many, though, that'll be their faith. That'll be it. Just make sure it's not you, y'all. So the essence of giving requires voluntary offering of the gift by the giver. Voluntary offering. In other words, you can't make these Negroes' pockets loosen up in here and give to... If it ain't voluntary, it ain't no good. Don't let these folk pollute your treasury with this bad money, with this mad money, this money you don't want to give no way. You finna pollute the whole thing. So Jesus clearly and unmistakably fulfilled the basic criterion with both his life and his death. Both of them. So both of them had to happen. For the basic criteria. That was for the fulfillment. That was our way back, y'all. Oh, praise God. I love that word. I love that word. That means somebody thought enough to pay for my life. For my life. I don't think it worth too much, but apparently, yeah, gave a ransom for me. Whew. I tell you what, if it was up to me, I'd have been in trouble. I probably wouldn't have paid. John 10, y'all, John 10, 17 and 18 said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Voluntary, y'all. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I received from my Father. Want to know where the power came from? That is. He got it from his Father. That's where the power come from, y'all. The power to lay it down and take it up again. We have that same power. Right now, y'all. That's the believer now. I'm talking to the believer. When I say we, I don't mean everybody. That's not all inclusive. We have to make sure you know if you're not born again, this does not apply to you. It truly don't. The release of himself as the ultimate gift has become the pattern for those who would follow him. That's us. There we go. Matthew 20:28 said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And the what? Give his life a ransom. For many. See, the scripture didn't even say for all then, did it? It didn't even say for all right there. For many. So that automatically tells us there's going to be some excluded that on. Huh? So we need to quit this all-inclusive gospel because you here, because you were born, you okay. You are deceiving people. You are deceiving people at the peril of their soul, y'all. Of this. So tell them the truth. If you love them, just tell them the truth. That's what love does. Love tells the truth. See, it covers a multitude of sin, y'all. That's what love does. So to say simply that he gave and that his followers should do likewise does not do full justice to the extent of his gift. To say Jesus gave expresses a profound truth of magnanimous, proportions. Jesus gave more than anyone ever has given, can give, or ever will give. Why? Because his resources are infinite, y'all. They don't run out. They don't run out. And aren't you glad that he don't run out of mercy and grace? All those things we could not get through this day without. He never runs out. We don't have to. His love is infinite. At the same time, his sacrifice and gifts are also infinite. Jesus indeed gave infinitely and ultimately. Jesus personified the gift of leading in remarkable fashion. He called 12 men to be his immediate followers. Them was the apostles, as we all know. The fact that one of them betrayed him, another denied him, and the other, with one exception, talking about John, departed from him at the point of his climactic crisis, does not negate the effectiveness of his leadership. Huh? Because what they did, it don't mean Jesus' mission was a failure. You know, the Catholics said that. Yeah. Yeah. They said Jesus, what Jesus did was a failure. Yeah. Ooh, can you imagine? What God would, how much God would you have to say that? That if Jesus fell, ain't nothing we can do, y'all. Like, we pack it up, bro. Pack it up. That's it.
Well, because
you, looking at it out of finite eyes, Pastor. You know, as you're looking at it out of finite eyes, that's why it's never what it looks like, y'all. But in this case, it's exactly what it looks like to me. He came and gave his life that I may have life. That's exactly what it looked like from start to finish. That's what he prophesied that he'd do. That's what he came. That's what by many witnesses, many witness accounts. That's exactly what he did. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Well, why can't we let that be enough?
Amen.
Why we have to add stuff to this?
Over and over again.
Over and over again, crucifying him afresh.
Amen. Go ahead. A perfect man, God made a perfect man. A perfect man disobeyed God. Right? Mm. Adam, is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
God told his soul that she ain't gonna die, right?
Mm.
So how you fix that? You got to make up another
perfect man. A perfect man, yeah.
He got to die your death. Huh? He got to shed his blood and satisfy God's justice in order for us to be where we are today.
Propitiation, bro. That's what it is. Come on, bro.
You know, that's why he said he gave his life for a ransom for many.
Many, okay.
But he also said many are called.
But few. That's right. That's absolutely right, bro. We need to pay attention to these words in this scripture, y'all. They mean something. They mean something. They're not just there happenstancely, y'all. They're there for a reason.
That's right.
So he led as a servant, not a dictator. No, dictators don't lead. They drive. Yeah, he led as an example, not a director. He led as a participant, not a spectator. He never forced those who accepted him to accept, who accepted his call to follow him. And he ain't forcing you today. He's not forcing you today. This is a voluntary thing, y'all. You must be willing. You must be. A primary mark of his leadership emerges from the respect he held for those who followed him. He loved those whom he led.
Okay.
He laid down his life on them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that evidence enough, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Should be, shouldn't it?
Good.
What else can he do? The man gave his life for you. How much more can he do?
Thank you, Lord.
Give you that BMW. That's what it is. He can give you that BMW. That'll show you on it. That'll show you on it. What about when the 2022 come out? It never ends. If we gonna use that analogy or look at it from that vantage point, it'll never end. It's gonna always be the next best thing. Alright? Now I say he lifted the lives of all who accepted his lordship. Jesus redefined the concept of leadership. In Matthew 20, 26 and 27, it says, "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave." Just the word turned a lot of people off. Servant, slave. Can't see yourself as being that. But you've been a slave all your life for something. Whether you realize it or not. For something, you've been a slave already. You just didn't refer to, because you didn't refer to yourself as that, don't mean that's not what you were.
Right, right.
You know, so once you can accept what you are, who you are, who the Lord say you are, then that you can experience that miraculous change.
That's right.
But until you accept that you are what he say you are, that's what the woman said when Christ called her dog, didn't he?
Yes, Lord.
True. You right. But feed this dog. Please feed this dog. Feed this dog. Yeah, I mean, don't get so wrapped up into these titles and how people perceive you. That'll get you stuck. That'll bog you down. If you so into that and it means so much what people think of you, you'll get bogged down right there in that spot, yeah. Said, before anyone could object that such a philosophy could not be and would not work, Jesus lived it out and led his followers consistently by him.
Amen.
The result is recorded in history, both secular and sacred. The motley group Jesus called multiplied exponentially with worldwide impact that continues today. Then they've been talking about how this Christianity, this gospel was going to fizzle out from the beginning, y'all. From the very beginning. They called it a fad. It was a fad. And y'all think about this now. Started with one being the Christ, the head. He chose 12, and it grew into what we see today. It's worldwide now, y'all. Worldwide. Everyone know. Everybody have their account of the crucifixion.
Okay.
Every culture, I don't care where they from, has their account of the crucifixion. That's right. They sure do. A manger scene, some kind of way. Everybody got one, y'all. The testimony of some Jewish opponents of the early followers of Jesus unwittingly paid a great compliment to Jesus' followers. In Acts 17, the B part, and indirectly to Jesus, their leader, when they complain. These who have turned the world
upside down.
They came here too. And they came here enough. They knew then they can't stop this thing. They can't stop. I'm telling you, they already flipped the world over there. Now they over here. You know, and that God is not in a box. They can't stop him from getting nowhere he want to go. This gospel is going to permeate the entire world, y'all. Period. And all we're seeing now is truly how small the number is. It's a small number. You know, they asked the Lord, will there be few?
Yeah, right.
And he said so. And if you're thinking in the big scheme of things, it really is a small number, y'all. Don't get caught. They done got in trouble for that. Don't worry about them numbers. You just make sure you in that number. You in that number. That's it. That is it, y'all. Jesus personified the gift of showing mercy with active compassion and actual concern emanating from a totally pure heart. The needs of mankind drew forth the deepest feeling possible from Jesus because in his perfection as God's son, he perfectly knew the basic need of man had come as a result of sin.
Okay, right.
Wow. He knew that, y'all. We should know that. We know it. The man's biggest need, his basic need is a result of the result of what sin has caused.
Right, right.
That's it. God intended man to live in abundant fulfillment and fellowship. Live in abundant fulfillment and fellowship. It takes so much for man to be fulfilled now. Simply because he don't know what it takes for him to be fulfilled. That's all that can be. If I don't know what's going to fulfill me, how do I ever? You never do. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in to tell that lost person, I got what you looking for. And give it, if you truly believe that, you wouldn't have a problem with it. We're giving it to them just like that. Regardless if they want to receive it or not. That's not up to you. But to give it to them is your job. That's what he called you to do, and me, myself.
But, Tony, let me say this here. Uh-huh. The biggest obstacle to us doing what God called us to do is self.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm.
Self is.
Mm.
Self is.
Mm.
Since he don't want to be rejected. Self. We back to self again.
You're absolutely right.
Idol.
You're absolutely right. That's why that pride thing is so, the Bible is definitely clear about that pride thing. That pride thing, y'all, has had us in a deep hole for a mighty long time. Come on, my sister.
That is so true. I remember the ministry at First Light. One of the best things was when there wouldn't be but one person, and the voice would be inside when one person came up. Lord, you got to teach the one like you teach the many.
Right.
And then he told me, you got to teach if the room is empty, because I called you to go there.
Yeah.
I didn't call you to count the heads. Amen. And I would tell my followers, I was just telling Leon, remember our times?
Yeah.
But then it grew, and then they came.
Yeah.
But he wanted me to die out to everything.
Sure.
And I loved that. That was, I think I grew closer through that lesson. Because he taught me it wasn't about me.
Right.
It was about my obedience and showing up.
Yes.
And, you know, we would kind of laugh about it going down. Attitudes, my baby girl would want to protect me because sometimes if they had nasty ways. And I had to explain to her, it's not about me. My feeling need to get hurt.
Right.
They need to not want to hear me because I didn't come to teach me. And it actually helped me grow in my walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And all of those years. And I appreciate him for
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I like my
Oh, yeah.
We got to die before we can really be done. Before the Holy Spirit can really use you got to be dead and alive to the Lord, but dead to yourself.
That's right.
That's the big problem right here.
And that's a daily job, y'all. Killing self is a daily job. You can't let him take a breath. You let self take a breath, he'll stand straight back up on you. Every time, what do you do? Come on, my bro.
And we know that everything is that God exposed, and he can use all things. And sometimes he has to use rejection with something.
Absolutely.
Even to strengthen us and to grow us, you know. But as Pastor said, you know, self is supposed to be dead. And you have to modify him, put him to death. Put him to death when you see these things.
That's right.
And the only way we can put him to death is that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We'll see what rejection plays in our growth.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Because it'll keep us focused.
Amen.
It'll keep our eyes on these.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Our season ain't God's season.
Right.
I mean, our season ain't God's season. And when God does it, then it takes the Holy Spirit that we must yield to, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman.
Mm.
And he's not going to go over our feeling. He'll help us with our desires, because he put the desires in our heart. And if he sees we truly want to be helped, or we truly want to do what's right, then the Holy Spirit will come in, and he is our helper to help us and assist us into things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But God does use everything and anything, because he knows what button to push on us.
That's right.
And all of us are not the same. And God uses whatever it takes to grow his children.
Mm. And be sure, people, that it's God that's pushing that button. Because the devil have watched us long enough to know some buttons to push with us as well. He'll push a button if God allows it. If God allows it, but you got to make sure. That's why you have this, my sheep know my voice, you know, and they follow me. And you have to keep that connection very close, or the devil will try to sound like him and slip it in there if you allow it. Come on, sis.
He can sound like it, but a real sheep know his
know that voice. That's right.
And we're not scared to say we know his voice.
Amen.
And we walk with affirmative, not in ourselves, but in him.
Amen.
And that was one of the things, and I think I shared it with Pastor Dan, so I noticed that we're a minister in Fairfield in that area. And he had asked me to help him with his ministry. But he decided if they didn't show up enough, he locked his door and he went to another church. And I had to, and I told him before, I told him, I can't work with you like that. First of all, I said, God called me to be a wall preacher. I don't have to have nobody. I say, if you got a church, one person could have showed up and you had that door locked. I said, that's not of God. He didn't call you to lock the door and maybe next Sunday if somebody show up. If he called you, he called you.
Amen.
If he didn't call you, he didn't call you.
Amen.
And that's the case of people not knowing if they're hearing the devil voice or God voice. He said, my sheep know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, you know, you have to get to the point. If God calls you, he'll bring who's supposed to hear.
Be there. That's right.
But you need to be in place. You don't need to be at Tom Jones' church when he sends Sally to your church.
That's right. That's absolutely right, y'all. And a lot of times, see, the message have to come through the speaker to get to the people. So that message may be simply for me. For me. I might be right here in the Lord speaking directly to me, through me. We have to take it like it comes, because he did the calling. Let him do everything else. What you got, Roy? Good to see you too, bro.
I'm glad to be back too.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I missed Bible study.
Hey, be that way.
But let me just say this about my pastor. Pastor used to get up and preach about, you know, this hearing stuff to come to the church and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he can't do that. He got to worry about us and worry about our church.
Mm.
That's why our pastor needs to be on time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about right here. We're talking about how the Christ did it. How the Christ did, and he set us a perfect example. You know, the perfect example. So we are without excuse, y'all.
Amen.
So we can do it his way, or we can try and stand there and think of a good lie to tell him on why we didn't. But either way, we have the example has been set for us.
Yeah.
All right, it's a man's sin hindered that intention. Talking about that intention he had for us for abundant and fulfilled life and fellowship.
Yeah.
Said, but Jesus came to reestablish it. No wonder there's such a poignancy in the account of Matthew. In Matthew 9:35-38, it said, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That same gospel still work, y'all. Why have we gotten so far away from it? It still works. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See, all that particular passage of scripture use the singular as it's speaking of someone, his harvest. He wants you on what he said. Y'all need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. Is his work? Is his idea? Is his stuff? All of it here. All of it here. So it's privilege if he has allowed us to be a part in this great mission of his, to bring souls into the kingdom. That's a privilege, y'all. God can live without you. I know. Maybe you don't think so. I know. But he got along just fine before you. And he gonna get along just fine after you. After you. The one monkey don't stop this show, y'all. We just said, talk about where it started. With one who chose 12 and it set the world on fire, y'all. Turned it upside down and still doing it today. Still doing it today. Contrary to what it looked like. Quit worrying about what it looked like. And you know what it is.
Prosperity ministers took it way away from others, mm-hmm. that was the enemy there. Like Jesus said, the brother asked Jesus, said, didn't you put good seeds in your ground?
Well, what happened? So tells, yeah.
It's all about what you can get from God, instead of what you can give to the people from God.
That's right.
See, that's rejection has changed altogether.
That's right.
People don't understand that, But you can say a lie too so long until that lie can become incorporated in your whole life, and you always want what the law gonna give me.
What's in it for me? What's in it for me? That I thing, that's back to that pride, that selfishness, y'all. You know, that's a demon every one of us should be fighting daily. You know, crucifying self, y'all. All right, the gift of mercy. And the life of Jesus provides another example of the significant difference that can be made when a spiritual gift, a supernatural capacity, becomes exercised through a surrendered vessel. Surrender. I'm not most of it, not all of it, but this, but all. Surrender all. That one piece you trying to say, that's what he want. That's what he want, y'all. Y'all remember that rich young ruler? All this, I've been doing this since I was a little boy. Let me get that little coin purse out your pocket then. That's all it took to show him himself.
That's right.
To show him himself.
Right.
And to show him that he wasn't dependent on what he said he was. Okay. You know, he was dependent on his riches, y'all.
Amen.
Jesus showed mercy in such an effective way that all who were willing to accept his expressions of compassion were significantly impacted. Many even eternally. The examples in scripture are numerous. One needs only to look at the countless people whom he helped or healed, rescued or redeemed, whom he touched or taught, to be convinced of his unique gift of mercy showing. The gift to show mercy, y'all, everybody can't do it. Everybody just can't do it. That's why can't get out their own way. That's a lot of our problems, y'all, if we'll just be honest. Can't get out of our own way. The Lord get you out of something, you can't wait to jump right back in it. It's just like the old analogy of the pig. You put the suit on him, I don't care. The first mud puddle he comes to. That's just who he is. That's what he is, you know. And if we don't keep our flesh underfoot, we'll show ourselves to be just as filthy as that pig. He's still there. He's still there. A specific account of the other spiritual gifts, as they may relate to Jesus, seem to be redundant at this point. Jesus personifies God's perfect intention for man at every point, in character and action. Jesus embodies exactly what God designed in Genesis 1:26. In creating man in his own image and likeness. Boy, do we mar that image. Do we do that, y'all? God, I wonder sometimes if God just, and I know he don't repent, he don't regret anything he's ever done, but just to let us know we made in his image and likeness. Knowing that, we still consciously do things and say things and treat others in such a way that mars that image so bad. If for nothing else, believers, that's why abortion is so egregious. You're dealing with the image of God. The very image of God. It ain't got nothing to do with color. Ain't got nothing to do with nationality. Any of that. All, if you're human being, you have an image that is not to be marred with. So anytime we do that, I never will understand a believer talking about choice. Never will. That's just 101. The image of God, protecting the image of God, that's a responsibility of each and every one of us. I don't care what the situation is. It's always our responsibility to protect life, y'all.
Right. But you're not gonna at all, not one time, kill a person that God has redeemed and God has designated.
It ain't gonna happen.
It,
They're gonna come. Yeah, absolutely. For your choices, for what you do. That's right. What you got, Roy?
First of all, you gotta admit to yourself that wrong is wrong. And if you see something wrong, you got to say it to yourself. And that's the only way the power of God gonna deal with you in the Holy Spirit.
That's good, Roy. That's good, Roy. That's real good. You have to. That's right. That's what repentance is all about. You must repent. You know, a lot of people make that one though so long and something that it really don't have to be. If you just fess up, and give it to God and let him deal with it. Let his power clean that out your life or move or however he decided to do it. But give it to him and let him do that. Instead of you trying to maneuver your way, slick your way out of it. I'm talking to Tony Green now, y'all. So you just, I'm talking.
Our spirit in us is stubborn. We stubborn at times. We don't want to do it. Yeah. That flesh is something else, man.
Yeah, that's what Pastor just said. We still got that dead man, Roy.
Boy, you the happiest man in the world.
Amen. We still got that dead man with us, y'all. The bottom of 106, it said Jesus demonstrates the remarkable potential man had prior to man's decision, chose to rebel against God and choosing to sin. Jesus reveals what the church, his body in the world today, should be about. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. So anybody who was wondering, or who was kind of confused, or kind of, that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, y'all. The church is the method by which the anointed one continues to do his work in the world. The church, the corporate embodiment of Christ's persons, extends, expands, and expresses the action of Jesus in a continuing way. In order to be all that God expects, the church must also serve as an anointed man, in an anointed manner, according to God's appointed plan through spiritual gifts. It's a supernatural thing, people. It's a supernatural thing. It's nothing you'll be able to accomplish, to complete, to do in your fleshly body. Not for the Lord. Nothing for the Lord. There's nothing good in these. And we need to accept that.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And let him, y'all talking about a surgeon now.
Yes, Lord.
You talking about a surgeon can't nobody else do.
No,
gave me a heart transplant, didn't put me to sleep. No, I'm talking about gave me a brand new heart and didn't even put me to sleep. Now, it was sometimes I wish he had it that went on and knocked me out, because while I was woke, he was dealing with some things. But this is the gift is open and available for whosoever will.
Amen. Amen.
Whosoever will, y'all. It ain't nothing special about us. What he did for one of us, he'll do for the next one.
Amen. That's right. You know, and that's the beauty of the teachings of the Word of God. God always opens things up to you to just continue to, you know, read.
And amen.
You know,
amen.
The beauty, you know, I was just reading the prodigal son just last week, and I was just meditating upon it. Because there's always something God can show you new, you know. And his one son, and, you know, he's already in the family of God. He's saved, right? Mm-hmm. He's already there at home.
That's
and,
right.
Of course, the Lord ain't here, no fatty cat for us yet. But now the Lord focuses on the lost one. So now the lost one is the one to focus on. So the Lord bring that lost one in. So and then he throw him a big party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kill the fatty calf, pull out the robe, pull out the ring. So the one already saved, he sitting back saying, "Now you ain't gave me nothing like that, but you already got everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all yours already. So quit focusing on yourself when it's all yours. You got it all."
Mm-hmm.
Think about the one that was out there that we bring it in. Yeah,
that's right.
We gave them a party, but now you always in the party, you know. But,
say everything that mine yours already. See, and then the Lord rebuked him for that.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, talking about you focusing on the other one, and you should have been too.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
yeah, yeah,
who's
yeah, yeah.
far off or distant or going through something or in the middle of something in their life, every one of us should zero in on that person. And not to expose, not to embarrass, but to bring back into fellowship so that we can kill the fatty calf and rejoice together.
You already, like the Bible said, son and everything, you already.
That's right.
I'm already saved. I'm in the kingdom. I got it all already.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That we trying to bring in. Mm-hmm. Don't get jealous because we give him a party
when
we bring him in.
That's right.
And you already got it all.
That's right. That's right.
Man, us as Christians, you can't say you don't know the power of God, because God is God, and that's the gift. That's what you're preaching about now. That's that gift.
Oh, yes.
We got conviction without every reader learning the word.
That's absolutely right, Roy. That's absolutely right. I paid 108. I went chapter 12. Supernatural gifts. Supernatural gifts of God's grace. See, in other words, I love the way that this lesson lays out that all of his gifts, God don't have to give you and don't have to do anything. All of his gifts. Supernatural gifts of God's grace. Sizable books could be devoted to description of each of the spiritual gifts. In order to acknowledge that volumes could be written, one needs only to be reminded that supernatural capacity is at issue in such an analysis. While this book is presented as only a basic introduction of spiritual gifts, it seems best to share from brief summations. Prophecy. The gift of prophecy is that special capacity God has given to certain members of the body of Christ that enables them to receive and understand messages which God intends his people to hear, who then can speak forth the truth of God in an effective and divinely appointed manner. So if it's going, in other words, it's going to edify the body. That gift going to edify the body if it's from God. God's word, the Bible, provides a direct resource for the person who has the gift of prophecy. While it may be acknowledged that God can speak directly to the heart, mind, or conscience of an individual by the Holy Spirit, all messages that are delivered by the prophet should be tested by the criterion of the scriptures for authenticity and reliability. The historic gift of prophecy basically involved the telling forth of God's truth and on occasion foretelling future events. Unfortunately, the predictive aspect of prophecy results in the mistaken notion that the element of foretelling defines the essence of the prophetic gift, perhaps because of the dramatic attraction. Indeed, one who is gifted to speak forth the truth of God may do so prior to the event or during the event or even after the event. The unique essence of prophecy involves the truth of God spoken in such a "thus saith the Lord" effectiveness and divine anointing that those who hear the message have actually received the message from God. The reality of the presence of the gift of prophecy in the church today seems to be obvious. God's direction and the declaration of his direction in a definite and determined manner is required for God's people in all time periods. God is borne witness to himself and to his desires through his inspired word. You're never going to get around the word of God. If it don't line up with the word, you can dismiss it. Period. By the illumination of the Holy Spirit and in his church, as his gifted servants exercise their spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy emerges as a key gift needed in each of these areas of revelation. Illustrations of the gift of prophecy abound. The historical backdrop of Old Testament prophets illuminate the consideration in large degree. Because of such a wealth of information, the citing of only a few passages seem to be needed in order to further clarify and amplify. In Romans 12 and 6, it said, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion or in proportion to our faith. Acts 15:32 said, now Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. Acts 21:9-11 said, now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. In 2 Peter 1:21 said, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the only true words that came from God. When the Holy Spirit moved on the man God chose, y'all, anybody can say God told me to tell you or however. But now it's a spiritual thing. And all you got, you have a foolproof guide to show you if it even came from God. And that's the word of God.
And when it does come, where the prophecy come, they don't come when you want them to come to. That's the thing about it. There are times that I can sit down and say I'm going to meditate and study, and God will not say anything to me.
Okay.
Anybody that's really, you know, God's called prophesied, in other words, to deal with the word of God.
Speak for me, yeah.
You know that. There are times that you just can't.
That's right.
Sit down anytime and just start reading and say, well, this is what I'm going to preach, this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
But then when it does come, you have to say, Lord, slow your roll a little bit, Lord. Let me get this down. I'm trying to, I can't write that fast, Lord, you know. And, but it don't come when you want it to.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And all that says is, see, we're followers of his.
Yes.
And if we're following him, he's not adjusting to our schedule or to our desires or to our whatever. I'm talking about not your sleep schedule, none of that. He might pull you up in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. And get your pen ready. Get your pen ready, because he'll give it to you, like Pastor said, when he get ready. Come on, sis.
And he wants us to know it's not about you.
Absolutely. That's what I was
getting at. He let you just sit down and you just come up with stuff.
Okay.
You done rule him out altogether. You actually walk in yourself. And you can that can easily happen.
Yeah,
so God, especially if he love you, you're going to have to sometime not get it until the last minute.
That's right. That's right.
And the reason he does that, you get confident in your intellect. And God is not about your
intellect. That is absolutely true.
It's about him. He told them, you know, don't save the manna. You should get fresh bread every day. And a true believer get fresh bread. And it's hard to keep up when he does. You'll get there and go, oh, my God, that's a beautiful message, Lord. And because he gave you something
came
you
from
didn't
him.
Give yourself.
Yeah.
And I often say when we're having our study time together,
yeah.
Because he is there. There are times I don't get anything, but I stay there. There are other times he gives so much until I got tablets around.
Right.
And then I stop and say, God, that was good. I know it came from him.
That's absolutely right. That's the way he did it. I had my mind made up on a message one time. I mean, you ain't going to tell me this ain't what I'm going to. Now, on preach to next month, but I already got it. I'm talking about mine. I done laid it out. Oh, and then, oh, yeah, that's good, Lord. I run right at that. The night. And to make sure I ain't pull it off, I couldn't even find my notes. I was like, Lord, why you do me like this? But now I was up all night, and he gave me what he wanted.
Yeah, right.
Praise it, and that's what went forward. But my mind was made up. No, this is what I'm going to do. I'm doing this one right here. Yeah, y'all were going to jump and shout and run all across the seats and everything. Lord, just don't play that way. He don't play that way. And all we're doing is foretelling what he's already said. Speaking forward what the word of God has already said. And we have to give it to it like he give it to us. That's just the way that works. When you just got it made up, you're going to do it your way. You haven't left room for the Holy Spirit to move in it.
You know, and I've been there, something. We all can say that. Oh, yeah. Because, like Rose was saying, I don't sit down, like say, in the afternoon sometimes. I'm going to study, and I've been studying.
Right, quiet.
My head is beating, and so forth. I'm about to break my head. And the Lord said, go to bed.
Yeah. What you got, Roy?
We must remember that God can just walk in the field and ask the devil, say, what you doing? Or where you going? Hey, what you think he can do for you? And when you want to do it?
Yeah, he over everything, Roy. He over everything. He's sovereign, bro. You right. You right. Yeah. Yeah. He is sovereign, bro. Said Paul vividly. We're gonna read these passages out of 1 Corinthians and we'll move on in. Paul vividly expresses the importance and relative value of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4 and 39 and 40. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4 said purpose love and desire spiritual gift. Yeah, true love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy.
Right, right.
For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God.
Yeah, right.
For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But we who prophesy speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. See, that's what it's about, people. That's what it's about. How did this thing just pop up out the blue all at once and get so hot to where they were even calling themselves people's salvation on whether you could or you couldn't speak in this tongue? That's too much, people. That's too much. At the least, you're causing people to doubt their faith.
That's right.
If nothing else, simply because you can't rap. That, a lot of it, that, and can't no one interpret it. Because most of the time, it's not a language. And that's not an argument for here nor there. All we're saying is, be led of the Spirit of God. And if it comes from God, it's going to edify God's body. There go your test right there. Does it edify the body of Christ?
Right,
1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40 says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decent and in order. Ooh, that ruled a lot of us out right there. Decent and in order don't mean swing around knocking folk out. Let's just do it his way, y'all. Huh? Yeah, I know. Hey, there's more than one spirit at work, y'all. There's more than one. What you got, Roy?
Why it's so hard to hold God's faith and keep your faith up on everything? I like what Monroe had preached in one of our Bible studies about loving Jesus. The hardest thing for us to do is like something attacking that faith. I don't care how hard you say you're holding your faith, something attacking your faith.
That's what he wants.
As Christians, you hold that faith.
Yeah.
Hold that faith.
Well, that's what he wants.
That thing that's coming from the Lord to you and trying to teach you.
Right.
Well, that's what the enemy wants, Roy. He wants to attack your faith. He wants to weaken your faith, and he'll use whatever he can use for that.
That's right.
So we must stay grounded in our faith.
And keep in mind now, he did it with prophets. Prophets, they really prophets speaking forth the word of God.
Amen.
By God, speaking forth his word. Now, like I say, the foretelling, the other part of prophecy is foretelling future. You know, which the Old Testament prophets did. They prophesied and they told things that were going to happen, you know, before they did happen.
Yes, right.
And a lot of people today want to deal in that realm of prophecy. Yeah. That's where they want to stay so they can control people more or less. Tell them, you know, the lady down the highway, Madam X, she's doing the same thing. She's prophesied because it ain't God. We know that, you know. But people in the church have taken up that same kind of role to try to foretell prophecy and, you know, to control people and what your future going to be. You know, that's out of bounds, y'all.
It is.
But that's what a lot of ministries are all about, you know, prophecy. We know the Bible tells you everything going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good, Pastor. That's a good segue out of this thing, too, because the canon is closed, y'all.
Yeah.
We already have the end of the book.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, whether you believe it or not, that's on you. That's on you. But we have the end. We know what's going to happen. You know, just like everything else that was prophesied before it happened, and we've had the privilege of seeing it through the our time here and through the history books and things unfold just as Scripture says.
So we know how we're saved, right? We know how we're saved. We know where we're going to go when we get saved.
That's right.
We know all that, right?
That's right.
So now, I don't need you to tell me the rest of it in between. I don't just need you.
No, I don't need to know that. Well, that now you out of the realm of the gospel. You already took this thing. You want to use God's stuff to help this flesh, to help me appease this flesh. You want to use God's gift to appease my flesh. Don't do it, brother. Don't do it.
Amen.
Just the love for Jesus.
Yeah.
And knowing Jesus.
Okay.
If you hold on to that, hey, you're going to be all
right. Praise God. That's right. Every time.
That's what it is. Christ said, when I come and I return, will I find faith?
Concentrate on it. That's all you got to do. Concentrate. Your whole world will change. I'm going to tell y'all something else. That's the power of God and the glory of God coming in your life. And you see that Holy Spirit working in you.
Amen.
That demon you talking about, well, that's a demon too. It's God. And he's more powerful than anything.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Mr. Pierce,
yes,
prayers out.
Bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray.
Bless you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of teaching, dear Lord. We thank you for your spirit, dear Lord. We thank you for the gifts that you've bestowed upon all of us who have received you as our Savior, dear Lord.
Yes.
Now allow us to be able to go forward into this world and let people know that today is the day of salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.